Our reading this evening is from Romans chapter 9, which you can find on page 945. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said, about this time next year I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born, and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Romans chapter 8 is really a highlight, kind of a climax in the book of Romans, and it ends, as you heard last week, with this beautiful testament to the fact that there's no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors, St. Paul says. That is, super conquerors. There's no contest. No one wonders how this thing will end. If God is on your side, no one can be against you. Neither death nor life, nor things above, nor things below. You are more than conquerors through him who called you, Christ Jesus. That's how Paul ends Romans chapter 8, but then things kind of take a turn in Romans chapter 9. It is as though he has been describing all of the glory of living in your Father's house. The gifts that you receive, the comfort, what a change it was for you having come from that courtroom where the charges were heaped up against you. And how secure you are, how safe you are within the walls of your Father's house. It's as though he has gone from describing that to all of a sudden remembering that there are some who are outside of the house. And moreover, they are people whom he loves. That's why Paul begins with this oath, really. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. What? That I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. It's as though he suddenly remembers that while he is in the house and you are in the house, you who have believed that you've been saved for Christ's sake, there are those who are outside, and they are his kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul was an Israelite of Israelites, a Pharisee of Pharisees, he calls himself. He was a Jew and from Abraham's family. And so he loves his people, and it breaks his heart as he remembers that they killed the prophets and they crucified Jesus. And Paul himself, an apostle of Christ, they have tried to persecute. They've conspired against him. There were some Jewish men who took an oath saying that they would not eat until they had dealt with Paul, until they'd put him to death. Paul's in the house, you're in the house, and he remembers that there are those who are outside, people for whom he has great affection. And that's something valuable for us to notice, something for us to imitate. Although God is sovereign and he has called us to be his own and he has done everything for us, although he does all of the work, that does not turn us into blocks of wood who have no feelings about those who are outside. We've seen this as we've studied the book of Revelation. When you hear about the torment of those who are cast into the lake of fire, how can you help but be moved with pity? There are those who do not enjoy living in their Father's house, and worse, they were sons. They had a place in the house. They're like that older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. All that is mine is yours, the father said to him. But when push comes to shove, will he remain in the house, or will his brother's presence be too much for him? Will he find himself outside in the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth? What a tragedy it would be, considering that he already had everything, that he was a son, that he lived in the house. Paul is heartbroken over his brothers and his sisters who may be lost. He's heartbroken, and he even goes so far as to say this kind of alarming thing. He says, if I could, I would give up my own salvation for them. If I could, I would put myself in hell in their place so that they could enjoy heaven. If I could, that's what I would do. And in doing that, in saying that, Paul sounds just like Moses. Maybe you remember back in Exodus chapter 32, when the people of Israel built that golden calf while Moses was on the mountain, God became very angry. And he said to Moses, get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to consume them. I'm going to destroy them. And Moses stands in the way. And he intercedes for the people and he pleads with God. He says, no, don't destroy them. If you destroyed them, what will the Egyptians say about your people, the people you've called to be your own? What will they say? They'll think that your promises are no good. And God says to Moses, no, but Moses, I'm going to make of you a great people. Your name is written into my book, but I'm going to blot out all of their names. And Moses says, no. If you're going to blot out their names, blot out mine as well. Moses loves his brothers and sisters. And he even intercedes for them with God in spite of their sin. Paul is doing the very same thing. He's just like Jesus, who while he's being crucified at the hands of people who hate him and hate God, he prays for them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in fact, Jesus does suffer hell so that they can be saved. Paul is channeling all of that. He's got the same spirit of Moses, the same spirit as Jesus himself, and here he prays that his brothers and sisters would be saved. If I could give myself up for them, I would. But of course, Paul cannot. He's not the Son of God, and his election is sure. Remember what he said at the end of Romans chapter 8, there is nothing in heaven or on earth or under the earth, neither death nor life, that could separate him from the love of God. So even if he wished himself into hell for the sake of his brothers and sisters, it wouldn't happen because God's love for him runs so deep. That is reassuring to Paul, but it doesn't take away the grief. This is a troubling thing. And it raises some questions. If those people who are now on the outside, who used to be sons, who lived in the house, if they're on the outside now, then what use was all of the things that God gave to them? Paul asked that question in Romans chapter 3. What use was the law? Well, he says it was useful in so many ways. Listen, again, as he says in Romans chapter 9, they are Israelites. And to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, the promises. To them belong the patriarchs. And from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all. And that's something. It's something that is very valuable. God had given them great and precious promises. Is it because God's promises have failed? Is it because all of that was worthless? Is that why they're on the outside now? Paul says, of course not. It's not because God's word fails, and it's not because those things were worthless, but it's for this reason, that God's calling has always been according to the promise and not according to the flesh. You heard it from Paul himself. He says, not all the children of Abraham are his offspring. Not all Israelites are Israelites. Sure, there are Israelites according to the flesh, but not all Israelites believe. Sure, there are children of Abraham according to the flesh, but not all children of Abraham trust in God. And so, not all are saved. Here's the proof. Abraham had two children, Isaac and Ishmael, but only one of them received the promise. To Isaac and his offspring, God gave the promise. And then in Isaac's own family, it wasn't Jacob and Esau both who received the promise. It wasn't just according to the flesh, but it was according to God's word. Jacob would be the greater. The younger will be served by the older. It has always been by God's word and according to his promise. the flesh is of no avail. To claim that you're a child of Abraham according to the flesh, well, that won't save you in the end. That's what Jesus is teaching the Jews in his day. Don't say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. After all, Jesus says, God can raise up children for Abraham from these stones. That is to say, he can make you, who are not even related to Abraham in the least, he can make you children of Abraham by faith in God's promises. And that is where Paul puts his hope. Recognizing that God's work in history and his work in the family of Abraham and his work in the flesh and in Christ Jesus himself has always been about overcoming the curse of the law. It has always been about overcoming the weakness of our flesh and the failure of our flesh. It has always been about the promise. And that translates to us directly today. Paul talks about Israel, but we can say the very same thing about the church. Not all who are in the church are in the church. And not all who are Christians are Christians. What matters is not what you see on the outside. What matters is what's in the heart. If it were purely a matter of externals, then you wouldn't need faith. You could just show up and sit in the pews, and that would be all that was required of you. But it is not what's on the outside by which God measures things, because salvation is not given according to the flesh. It's given according to the promises. That doesn't mean that the externals, doesn't mean that sitting in the pews is of no value, just as the law and the priesthood and the sacrifices were of great value if you believed. Sitting in the pews is of great value, exceeding value, if you believe. And so, we need to learn to see things rightly. That's what Paul is working on today, teaching his hearers to see things rightly. You are in the house. You are children of God. You're sons and heirs. You are more than conquerors through him who loved you. But how did he love you? He loved you by sending his son to die for you. He loved you by giving you his own spirit so that your heart could be changed. He loved you through the church, through what you hear by sitting in the pews. He loved you through your friends and your family who believe alongside you. He loves you in all of these ways. And that is our hope. Paul has a lot more to say about his heartbreak over his brothers and sisters, but he wants us to get this straight first. Flesh can't save us. Being a member of the same family as Abraham can't save you, but being adopted through faith in Christ, that is what saves. And that is what can direct us with compassion towards anyone who is on the outside. What matters is not that they become like us, rather they would receive Christ and believe his promises. His promises are what hold up in the face of danger and evil and sin. His promises are the thing that endure forever. So let us put our hope in Christ's promises alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.